Jess Servion, and I'm super excited to bring you my new podcast, The Juice with Jess. This podcast is going to be about everything in your customer's journey. We're talking acquisition, awareness, making that purchase, retaining that customer, bringing them back around, and everything in between. This is going to be all about delivering dope brand experiences and talking to some really amazing people who are in the customer experience space, the marketing space, and everything in between. This week, I'm really excited to bring on my guest, Corey Walker. Corey, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Corey. Last name is Walker, if you didn't notice. My role is Strategic Enterprise Customer Success Manager. Currently, I am working with Inborder. And what Inborder is a human connection platform, essentially that sends out communications to your employees at every moment that matters, specializing with the onboarding strategy, but hitting on transitions, regretted leavers, L&D, so a lot of different items. So really just every moment of the employee journey.
I am super excited to have Corey on. Corey is a baddie customer success manager. I have personally worked with him at 3 different companies in the past across the last 10 years. So I'm super excited for this episode because this episode, we're going to talk about the customer journey, but we're really going to talk about the intersections of customer support and customer success and what that means both in B2B or in B2C. So let's get started. So Corey, in normal words, I know you just told me what Inborder is, but can you break it down a little bit for us and like tell us like the one sentence?
Yeah. So essentially, if you wanted to drill us down to the very bottom of what we do is we send communications to your employee. So it could be via text, email, Slack, Teams, WhatsApp. So omnichannel, something I learned this week. So we're very fluent with how we send these communications. But at the end of the day, we're a communication platform.
So let's dive into customer success. Like, what made you excited to get into customer success, specifically on the B2B side?
Yeah. So when it comes to my background, I did start in retail. I was a retail manager with Express Clothing. I went over to apartment leasing, and then I ran a medical office. So throughout my entire adult journey, I was working in customer-facing roles. And for me, I'm very customer-obsessed, and I want to make sure that I go above and beyond to drive value, not only for the business, but for the customer to drive that repeat business. So no matter what role I was in, I was making sure I was always on point and making sure that the customer was satisfied. And if they weren't, what could I do to ensure that we're able to retain them and drive satisfaction moving forward?
Amazing. I am so excited to talk more about customer success. So this question is a little bit about Inborder, but I think I want to dive into this. So when we talk about customer success, we talk about customer support, we're really talking about like the customer experience, right? Like the overall customer experience for your customer in like whatever capacity that is. But one of the things specifically that Inborder does is, you know, HR people experience communications platform, right? And that's something that like I'm really obsessed over is like, what is that internal experience that you're having within the company to help you create culture. In your words, like not on the Inborder piece, like just on you, what is your thoughts on how to create a really good experience that starts within? Like, how do you create a good culture to deliver a dope customer experience?
Yeah, I think, so for those of you who don't know, I do work with North America's largest logos. So there are customers like Bayer. I work with 2 telecoms that are based out of the US. I work with McDonald's as well. So at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're making sure that the employee experience is above and beyond to ensure the longevity of that employee at the customers within their business. So we're building out different journeys, different what we call workflows that will send out these different communications at each point that matters for the employee. So a lot of them have built out this pre-boarding strategy of saying, hey, before they start at day one, before they arrive at day one, mm-hmm. we want to drive this experience, showing them our culture, showing them who we are, showing them how we really dive into the business here. But at the same time, not sending them those task-oriented items of, hey, here's your I-9, I need you to do this. Hey, here's this, I need you to complete this prior to day one. So we're really trying to avoid these items of saying, hey, here's all these tasks that you have to complete, and more or less drive the culture, drive that experience and saying, hey, here's the reason why you need to show up for day one. And here's why you're going to stay past day one, stay past day 90. So really just, you know, in aspect of customer success, I'm looking at driving retention of our customers. They're looking at driving retention of their employees. And that's what I'm at the end of the day helping them do.
Yeah. I think employee retention is something that is very underrated in the experience of like people, not just like, I call it the external customer as well as the internal customer. So it's like, in order for internal customer to deliver really great experience to the external customer, like they have to be really well taken care of. They have to have the equipment that they need. They have to be able to, you know, do their job, but also from like a people experience perspective, like they have to be engulfed in the culture and like be a part of it, right? And like do it easily, right?
And for CS, like we're, each customer is tied to an ARR. So making sure that, you know, there's
what's
a dollar.
What's an ARR?
Annual recurring revenue. Sorry. So we tie it to an ARR. So your contract value is based on 100K. So if the customer is spending 100K with us, we want to ensure that that revenue is retained at the year, at the renewal, at that contract.
Right.
So when it comes down to the employee experience, there is a value associated with them as well. So onboarding them, the manpower that it takes to have them brought on to search for these candidates. So at the end of the day, it could be 20, 30,000 associated to each employee, it could be 10,000. But if you're not retaining your employees, like if you're not retaining your customers, at the end of the day, all you're doing is burning out, and you're burning out current employees. And at the same time, you're just losing money, losing revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, over and over, in order to deliver a good customer experience in whatever capacity, whether B2B or B2C, you have to take care of your internal customer, which is your people, first. Switching gears a little bit, you actually mentioned this. I would love to kind of explain to the audience. I think there's like a lot of, I wouldn't say misconceptions, but I think that people are a little bit confused about what customer success is sometimes. I think that, you know, I call it a part of like the customer experience journey, but I think that customer success is also attached to revenue goals, right? Like in a lot of companies, right? I'd love to hear from you of like, how does customer success play into the role of earning revenue in a B2B company?
Yeah. So in my role itself, what I'm currently doing is actually, I'm tied to my KPIs are based on renewals. But at the end of the day, I don't own the renewal process. So I've worked at four different SaaS companies in the customer success role. Each one has been fairly different when it comes down to what CS actually owns. This one is the most different out of all of them because at the end of the day, I'm not associated with the dollar value. I'm not associated with having those money conversations with our customers of saying, hey, how about we, you know, start this contract and here you're going to spend $100,000 again this year. So I'm not tied to talking to the money. And the reason why we did this at Inborder is to separate that mentality that a customer has with that dollar value of, okay, well, you're only retaining me or you're only being nice to me because there's a dollar value associated with my name. Or you become that headhunter who's trying to debt collect or trying to really push when there may not be that value there for them at this point in time. So you become less of a strategic advisor and more of a, I'm going to say, pusher in this mentality of, hey, I need you to spend more, but you're not strategically advising them how to spend more or why it would benefit them to spend more. But yes, I'm still tied to some type of upsell value, or we'll go into the renewal value or even a cross-sell value. So, you know, upsells being a current customer who we go into and say, hey, we identified other use cases within the same department or within your business that we can, you know, add value to. So we upsell to those. Cross-sell could be, hey, it could be we work with Cisco, but we're not working with Thousand Eyes or Cisco Meraki, and we're going to cross-sell to another part of their business. And then the renewal aspect is just that year-on-year renewal. So yes, we're tied to all of it, and we're always usually structured to be near or associated with the sales revenue or with the sales org as well. So two jobs ago at Travel Bank, I reported directly to the CRO, so the chief revenue officer. So there I was in charge of upsells, renewals, and pretty much we were converting a lot of our old users who were free users to paid users. So I own that value as well. So there was just a lot that was going into it, and I didn't have as much time to really strategically focus on the customers where I could add value to their org to, you know, building upon what we've already created there. But at Inborder, I do have that ability as I've kind of further explored with Cisco as we continue to expand into different departments there.
Yeah. I think what's really important in like the distinguishing between revenue and strategic advisor is that the best customer success programs or best customer experience programs is when you are that strategic advisor. I've seen companies do it really well, like just in specifically e-commerce enablement companies. PostScript, they're an SMS marketing platform, and their CSM program is like, it's called customer experience for a reason. And, you know, their customer success managers are, yes, I'm sure, like internally tied to numbers, tied to all these things, their book of business, but they are strategic partners with you as you're creating SMS flows, marketing campaigns. And I think that that's what makes a really dope customer experience in a customer success program is when your customer success manager has the ability to be a strategic partner to that account that they're withholding, or holding, not withholding. And I think that's really important. I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Like going further into the strategic advisement, like what would you think?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if I do my job right as a strategic advisor, I'm already ensuring a renewal because they see the value that I'm driving there. I'm also already ensuring an upsell as well. So I'm easily starting the layup for our account directors to come in and actually close the deal. So I'm doing all the legwork behind the scenes, talking strategy, implementing items, implementing new product features. And at the end of the day, it should just come into the renewal process and it should be a very seamless process. So I'm still driving revenue, but I'm not talking dollars. I'm talking strategy.
Right. And I think that that's the important lesson in that actually is that in whether you're B2B or whether you're B2C, when you're talking about your customer's journey, making your customer not feel like they are being sold to all the time, making it feel like it's a relationship. So like that's specifically what you do like when it comes to SaaS companies, right? And like larger logos, it's like you're building those relationships. But even if you like flip that to a B2C company, it's also about in their customer journey to make it feel like they're in a relationship with your brand. Like as a consumer, we go and purchase things when we feel attached to that brand.
I agree. Right? And that's the biggest thing to say. It's like, we know at the end of the day, there is a contract value associated with every single customer we speak to, but the customer should not feel a dollar sign associated. So it's coming to them and approaching them as a human and really humanizing your approach with them. And then you're associating on the back end a dollar sign. It shouldn't be, hey, customer, you spend $100,000 with us. That's how much effort I'm putting into this. Or, hey, customer, you spend $1 million. That's how much effort I'm putting into this. Every customer should receive the same amount of effort that you're able to put into every strategy. And then that's just going to increase the dollar value or ensure your renewal with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in your opinion, so we've obviously have worked together at companies where I've done like the product support side and you were like part of the CSM side of things. And our teams have always like collaborated. But in your opinion, like what is your looking at like the overall grand scheme of a customer's relationship with a company, right? And you have the customer success piece of it, and then there's still the customer support piece of it. What do you think that the best collaboration is between support and success, like for a good program?
Yeah. I think still because CS is, we'll say, newer to, you know, a lot of the world, CS is still looked at as a support side of things. Mm-hmm. Whether it's internally as a as your company, they may look at you and say, well, you're also going to support your customers if they reach out to you. You also have customers who look at you and say, hey, well, you're just my dedicated support agent. Where at the end of the day, again, based off of what we were just saying, is we're strategic advisors. We're not there to, you know, support you in aspect of, hey, there's a product issue, there's a bug, or, hey, there's a flaw going on in the system. Can you take a look at it? Where we partner great with support is being able to say, hey, look, I had this transition of knowledge. We've talked through, hey, this is what we'll say McDonald's is going through. And you know what? If they reach out to you, it's going to be because of X, Y, or Z. And this is how you can support them. This is their character. This is how they communicate. And then you have a better knowledge going into it to support them in that aspect. Sometimes when they reach out, I'll also copy and support and say, hey, I'm jumping into meetings. Like, there's a way to really train your customers without saying, I'm not here to support you.
Yeah.
So again, you want to make sure that they're human as well. They are flawed just like you are. So if they're reaching out to you and maybe, hey, I forgot that you're not my support agent, I can reach out to support. So it's just a better way of training them. But I do think that we partner and then falling under the CX umbrella, because we both will and we both do in most companies, is making sure that there's really that transfer of knowledge and making sure that you both understand the needs of every single customer going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think where I've seen the best customer programs is actually the support and success being under the same umbrella. I've worked in other organizations where support was a part of business operations and then success was a part of sales, right? So then and I think that different leaders have different directions for sure. But I think that at the end of the day, when we're talking about customer experience and you're talking about the success and the support side of it, it's all about relationship building and that strategic partnership. So having those teams at least be highly collaborating together and or under the same roof feels like it's going to be better for your customer's journey. And maybe not every company is that way, but this is like my opinion, you know?
I would agree, though. Like, I found the best collaboration internally is whenever they both sit under the same umbrella, because it allows you to be able to actually have those meetings with them and then collaborate and work on projects together that also enhance the customer. So whether it's, you know, supporting them or, you know, working on beta features that are going to be released to the public, bringing in the support team to actually collaborate with the CS allows them to understand the product, allows us to understand the product, and then also both to understand what frustrates the other. So if my customer's reaching out and not giving them what they need, what can I better coach my customer on to give them that effort up front that now they, when they reach out to support, they give them everything they need in one email.
And I think that's a really good point too. And like a question that I have for you as like a customer success like leader is, what is, in a perfect world, what would be the best feedback loop between customer support to customer success? Like, customer support gets a lot of tickets, they tag them, they like have a lot of information about your customer. But what do you think that a good feedback loop back to the customer success department would be to ensure that you like know everything? Because sometimes some people are in Salesforce and some people are in Intercom, you know?
So internally, we use PlanHat for our CRM for the customer success team. We also leverage Intercom for our chat support and our email support as well. So when it comes down to what is the one best way yet to figure that out at this time, I think that's one that, you know, everyone's working on. Okay, what does this work for this product? How does this collaboration work for this product? What I have found is kind of laying out what I need. So it's like, hey, for my top strategic accounts, maybe a monthly recap of how many outreaches you had, what was the issue that was going on, and then what was their sentiment? Did they leave the call feeling frustrated, or did they leave the chat feeling frustrated, or could you tell based on the verbiage that they were using? That way, I know I can approach certain conversations and then alleviate some of that stress. So I know that a lot of us, we do NPS scoring at the end of a chat to say, or a CSAT scoring to say, hey, how was your chat? How was your support? Not everyone uses it. If they're highly frustrated, of course they're going to use it. But if they're mildly frustrated, or if they're mad at something else and they just close out of it because they just got an answer, they're not going to tell you how they truly feel. So a lot of the sentiment, I do ask for a recap. I also, again, ask for how many support tickets were submitted during a, you know, quarter, within a month. That way I know that if my customer is reaching out to somebody 10, 15 times a month, there's not only a problem with our product, but there's a problem that maybe the customer doesn't understand our product. So maybe it's me stepping in and giving more transfer of knowledge of, hey, how to use the product. Here's what you're reaching out for. So how can I help solve it? So again, it's just coming down to, okay, what is your product offering? And what do you foresee being the most complicated issue for y'all to really collaborate on? And every CS is different. I may want to know more than the next CS person.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm like, please don't tag me in on any Intercom chat unless it's like escalation and I need to step in and de-escalate.
Right. Well, I think that also helps you empower the support staff too, to be able to problem solve and not always go to the customer success manager to, it kind of just establishes that boundary, you know, like both internally and externally, because it's like, you don't want, as the customer, if I'm have a support ticket and there's some sort of escalation correlation in it. I don't want to constantly tag in the CSM that's on that account, because one, I want to be able to show that like I can handle this, but two, I don't want to show to the customer that like, oh, every problem you have to go to your CSM. Like you should be able to solve it with other people on your staff, you know?
Your CX is so great. That phrase is so last season at this point, because at Customer, we believe in delivering incredible customer experiences. Introducing KIQ Agent Assist, the ultimate CX team AI sidekick built on our CRM to give agents superhero capabilities and efficiency. When building KIQ Agent Assist, we had goals: get rid of long customer wait times and increase the speed of customer resolution. Provide the CS team with real-time data for personalized prompts, delegate mundane tasks for AI, and free up your agents. But we didn't stop there. We wanted to deliver more. Check out KIQ Agent Assist amazing features: the suggested responses, the automatic two-way translation in 53 languages, and conversation summaries. Upgrade your customer experience with KIQ Agent Assist. Try it today and see the difference. Customer, delivering incredible CX every time.
Switching gears, I mean, well, really talking about retention, I mean, you individually under your portfolio in Border and like the people you've worked with, you manage some of the America's like biggest customer logos, and you have a 96% retention rate. How do you think that the customer success team contributes to the overall like customer retention effort? So I don't mean like individually. I mean, like, how does customer success in Border and you contribute to that those retention efforts?
I would say it's percentage-wise probably 90%, 10% product, because if there is a product issue, a lot of times with a feedback loop, you can do it all internal, get something figured out, and either offer a workaround or offer an enhancement that will correct that issue. Mm-hmm. So having those conversations, being very transparent with your customer and them being very transparent with you, allows you to get to the nitty-gritty of everything that they need, they want, that will help their longevity with your product. Similar to, you know, when you worked at your last company, it's just like, how does the customer feedback loop happen, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to you? And then how do you take that internally? So quality, packaging, whatever it may be. So this is what I do on day to day. So it's like I go into a lot of companies I meet with weekly, bi-weekly, just depending on their needs. And I go into the meeting announcing product enhancements, what we released the past 2 weeks. So we do a two-week product release. So every 2 weeks we release something or bug fixes. So I always notate what I'm going into the call to mention. So is it something new, a new feature that we're releasing that we need to start working on implementing with them? So starting guiding them, starting having them think about how we can use this in their workflows of saying, hey, now we can drive the employee experience in a different manner or in this additional way. If it's a bug release, it's okay. Have we released it? Have we fixed it? If we haven't, what is the ETA that I can provide them? If there's no ETA, then what workaround can I offer, or what can I do to further assist them until we're able to get that onto the roadmap to be fixed?
Yeah. Well, you actually bring up a really good point about like something that else I wanted to ask you. So we talk a lot about like feedback loops from like support to success and, you know, sentiment and all of these other things. But like, what do you think that the best programs are, for customer success to get things actually onto the roadmap? Because I think in B2B, it's really hard. Like sometimes you get like a lot of like feedback from your clients, and then like maybe you have this large client who's like, I want this feature, but you can't just like make the engineers move at the speed of light. Like how do you actually like balance getting things onto the roadmap, but also balancing the relationship with your customer as well?
So I start internally. So a lot of times, like, I'll tell the customer, be very transparent, be like, hey, our roadmap's already mapped out for the quarter, for the year, but let me see what I can do. Let me talk to our team internally, but also gauging with them, be like, hey, how big of a priority is this for you? And a lot of times they'll tell you, they'll be like, hey, this is a deal breaker. Like, I'm done with you guys if you can't fix this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're like, oh, it's just a nice to have. And at that point in time, you can actually buy your company more time, because they're like, oh, it's a nice to have. It's not something we can ignore long term, but it is something that we can postpone for a bit, because it's more of like a, hey, that would be good if you could fix this, but it's not like a, hey, it's critical. This is like stopping me in the flow of work. I'm not able to do anything today. So it's first starting with a customer, engaging them on, hey, how important is this? Once you get that importance from them, I do have like an email template that I've created for myself. So I go to my manager first and I loop him in and say, hey, you know what? McDonald's is upset about X, Y, and Z. If we don't fix this, this could be a churned account. This could mean that they're going to be done with us at the end of contract. And then based on his response of, hey, I will take this, or Corey, can you take this above? Then I'll start looping in the heads of each department. So I'll go to the head of product. Because I work for a startup, the CEO likes to be tied into all strategic accounts. I'll copy in the CEO as well, the head of customer success, and my manager. So I'll go through and type in the ARR and say, hey, this is the dollar value associated with this customer. Mm-hmm. This is what the customer needs with examples and what problem it will solve for them. A lot of times, if you can tie more customers to it, the dollar value associated with that product release or that product enhancement will push it along a lot further. So not only do I look at this customer, I look at other customers who have may requested it. And I'll also ping other CS members and be like, hey guys, have you had a customer ask for this? And if so, who was it? That way, not only do I have my customer associated with it, I start tying other ARR to it, which will increase the product enhancement and also show that, hey, we're not building a product for one company, we're building it for multiple users.
Yeah, I think it's a really good feedback loop way. I think it's really hard. Like I said, I think it's really hard, and like especially in B2B or B2C, about whether it's a feature or if it's like a particular thing about your brand's, you know, product. Like it's really hard, like incorporating and getting those things on the roadmap. But I think it's advocating internally, advocation.
Yeah. There we go. Exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, and then keeping up with your team. You need to also follow up if they're like, yeah, we're going to do it. Okay, well, let's continue to have these meetings, whether it's a biweekly cadence, depending on the importance of it. But 100% is advocating for your customer. And then also to your customer, you got to advocate for your own company as well.
Yes.
So as much as you want to be on their side, at the end of the day, you work for X company and you need to make sure that you have put your best foot forward for them and you're able to speak fluently and very educational around why they may not be doing it. So if you go the route of, hey, we're not doing it, you need to be able to speak to why and be prepared for an upset customer. But also what I always try to do is find a workaround. So if we can't do this, what can I offer them that could almost be similar, but maybe not? So it's like, you're not just coming to them with a no, you're coming to them with a no, but a solution.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is. It's like sometimes you can't always just say no. Like you have to come to with a solution, just like you do in any other relationship. Customer success and customer experience is very much about relationship building. Completely switching gears. I want to talk about the hot topic of AI. And I'm really curious, like I know on the support side of things, you know, AI has played like a very rapid role in helping agents like be able to take tickets or like give information faster to like the customer. I'm curious to hear in like your opinion, like AI for customer success, like where have you seen trends? Where do you see it evolving? Like has AI helped you in any aspect of like your job?
When it comes down to replacing CS, I don't think that will ever happen. I think there's aspects of it like ChatGPT that CS will leverage and do leverage. So helping you figure out a way to better communicate with your customers. Okay, well, if I say this, is it going to rub the person the wrong way? So using it to better educate yourself around, you know, changing that sentence structure around, you know, using it to better your communication with your customer. There's other ways of, you know, how can I plan out my day? Where should I really focus? So, you know, really leveraging it and more of your day-to-day of, hey, how can I just better myself to, you know, work alongside these customers? I haven't explored AI on the CS side of things as much. Our company's really exploring it on the support side right now with chatbots, very similar to, you know, those communication items of, hey, if they chat and asking about this, it's going to go through, read our help articles and be able to give them that solution immediately. For some of the customers I've been speaking to about the AI that they're looking to implement alongside us, during the onboarding, there are, you know, it could be 100 to, you know, 1,000 employees of having that chatbot assistant. So if they're looking for information on Slack channels, then they're going to have this internal AI bot that they're able to chat through and is able to, you know, send them to the right department or send them to the right, you know, location of, hey, this is what I'm looking for. So being able to help them versus, you know, them going to the recruiting coordinators or the TA to say, hey, guys, I have questions. They're solving it with more automation right now as well.
Yeah. I think what would be an interesting evolution, and this is just like my opinion, is where I've utilized AI a lot, like at previous e-commerce brands and even in B2B, is like content creation or sentiment analysis. So like two different aspects, right? Like content marketing, content creation, but then also in sentiment analysis, feedback looping, right? And that's very like support. But what I think would be really interesting for a success department in seeing AI is reporting analytics, of course, like, you know, kind of determining LTV and like the value of the clients, but also specifically some sort of like sentiment analysis. So like sentiment analysis in like a phone call, right? Or like if you're going through like your QBR, your quarterly business review. See, I even questioned myself on that acronym just now. But like, you know, if I have a client who's like sitting through their quarterly business review and like they're not really paying attention, or, you know, they're asking me a lot of questions, like I would like to see like some sort of like AI sentiment analysis of like, was this a good call? Was this a bad call? Also, you know, again, it's going to the content creation, but like being able to like proactively send out check-in emails, right? I think what a lot of like customer success is today is like that relationship building, but then how do you like move faster and be able to sit across multiple accounts, multiple like people within those organizations? So I would love to see some sort of like AI generation and like helping you create content as a success manager.
Yeah. You know? No, and I think a lot of the automation around the emails, yes, we do a lot of that already.
Yeah.
But to your point of face analysis, like we used to work with a coworker who's actually going into that field, and we use Gong. So Gong does a lot of our recording, does the AI of, hey, these were your bullet points. Here's your takeaways. This is what you do. So we do leverage AI when it comes down to these other facets as well. The sentiment, I'm usually watching. So it would be great to start investing into that.
Yeah.
Because 100%, like when people are bored, if they're disinterested, that means that there is a chance that they just don't care because they are looking to churn. Or maybe the information's irrelevant and you're pitching to them a 30-minute or an hour phone call that is irrelevant information.
Yeah.
So 1,000% would agree with, you know, the sentiment analysis part.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be really interesting to see. I think we're going to see a lot of innovations with AI, like not just on the support aspect of it. I mean, customer, this podcast is powered by customer, and like what customer does a really good job of doing in like the support analysis is, you know, helping service the customer, but also sentiment analysis for like the agent to know on the back end. And I would love to see like some sort of that into like the CRM world and the customer success world too. Completely switching gears now. I want to ask the hot takes about you personally, because anybody that's listening to this episode who's interested in a career in like customer success or customer experience, I think it's really important to hear from you because you've been in this world for so long. One, what do you love about customer success? Like, I mean, it's not just the relationship building. Like, why have you chosen this to be your continuous career?
I love people as much as I love my downtime and being solo after work. During work, I thrive the most whenever I'm interacting with people. I also look at it as a challenge to win people over. So for me, the customer success aspect of meeting with different people back to back to back, you transition personalities, you change, and you really evolve each one. And then you take your learnings from this customer and you apply it to the next customer. So it's just, at the end of the day, it's always challenging no matter what's going on. And it's just like being the person, being the personality, being the face of a company. Mm. I love it because, I mean, what's not good to look at here? But overall, it is. I love the customer journey. I love being able to, you know, own it from the close of sales to renewal.
Yeah.
And just, again, it's just the challenging aspect of, okay, I'm mad about this feature. Well, what can I do to fix it? So it's just problem solving day to day. And I love that aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think on like the opposite end, like this is actually why I'm in customer experience, because I love people too. What would you have said to yourself on the first day of your job, like your first job in success?
What did I say to myself, or what would I tell myself?
Well, you're an overthinker, so...
What I told myself is, oh my gosh, I'm not cut out for this. What am I doing here? But that's always the self-doubt in people. It's just like knowing that, hey, I'm good at what I do, but always saying I'm not good enough. So I would go back and tell myself that, you know what? You will not only prove yourself in the industry, but you're going to prove yourself to yourself. So that's what I would say, is like, be prepared for it and don't let it hold you back.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and not for you individually, but like anybody who's looking to like get into customer success or like is on this world, I think the other thing is too, is like when you're dealing with relationships with people, it's not to take it personally, because like there are customers who are going to be like kind of rude, you know?
I've been yelled at and said it's all my fault when it's just a product bug that happened. I would 100% agree. It's not your fault. Don't take it personal. I would say use your voice, but be constructive with it. Don't be just yelling to yell. And that was something that I've learned is, you know, you don't just speak to speak, but speak when you know that you have the right to speak. And what I mean by that is use your voice as you need to and speak up for yourself, but don't just speak in a room like I'm doing right now, just to speak to it. So yes, use your voice, but use it to really build upon things.
This is going to be a hot take, I'm going to be honest with you, but what do you think the worst type of customer success manager is?
I would say it's the ones who are very dismissive, the ones who show up just to show up because the call was there, who come into it with zero strategy, who just say, you know what, I know this customer is going to renew because they love the product, but I'm not going to put any effort into it. So it's just like those who show up to do bare minimum and not those who actually show up to challenge themselves and challenge the customer.
Customer's not always right.
They're not.
Yeah.
They rarely are.
And sometimes you just got to like coddle them a little bit, you know? What do you wish that more people understood about customer success managers, like as like the individuals in an organization?
Yeah, I would go back to the support versus success. I wish more people would understand what value we bring to a company and what value we bring to the customer versus what support brings. We both bring the same amount of value, but they're both in different aspects. Again, I'm not support, I'm success. So I'm talking strategy. I'm talking long-term. I'm talking enhancing the portfolio and driving more revenue. Whereas support is very reactive. You know, you guys, and you can speak to it better than I can. You guys are there to support them in anything that has gone wrong. We're there to predict what could go wrong and help implement something prior to.
Exactly. My point, like when you look at like B2B organizations and you like see the separation between customer success and customer support, I think that they should live under one house or have a very tight collaboration amongst each other, because you're still dealing with the relationships of that customer, but one is proactive and one is reactive, right? And you can do all these tools and put all these things together to make a proactive customer support. But at the end of the day, like if somebody's coming in to support, they're coming in because their problem isn't solved, and a customer success team is to be that proactivity and see like across down the line of like what's happening.
Yeah. Right? And what we do well at Inborder is a lot of times before we release features, what we do is we have an internal meeting saying, hey, these are the product releases that we're going on. Here's, we're going to turn it on in your test environment. Go through, test anything that you may think is how your customer is using it. That way, if there is a bug, if there is an issue, we can fix it before release. Or if it's too late to fix it before release, we can proactively go out to that customer like, hey, we're about to release something. We're going to have a quick follow. Just know that this may, you know, affect this portion of the product for you.
Yeah.
So being able to really QA test it ourselves, even though we do have QA people, quality assurance. Yeah. So sorry for everyone out there. But just making sure at the end of the day that we're very proactive. We're thinking long-term about how this is going to affect or help our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're like coming up on time, but I want to get your hot take on like one more thing. What do you think about beta programs in B2B?
I have a love-hate relationship with them, just because the hate is the aspect that they always go after the same customers. It's really hard to get additional customers to buy into the beta testing program. From a strategic perspective, because I deal with these large customers, a lot of times they don't want to be part of beta testing because there are so many issues, and that will create more issues and frustration for them. The caveat to that is because they're the largest customers, if they did beta test, we could find those issues out quicker than after release when it goes to that customer and they're like, hey, by the way, I'm running into all these issues. It's because these smaller SMB mid-market, they don't have the full usage that a strategic customer, maybe not as complex as a strategic customer. So it's that love-hate of if I put them in there, it could create frustration, but if I don't put them in there, it will probably create frustration. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what? It's damned if you do, damned if you don't in that scenario.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's like it's a good thing to have because you need to find the problems and you want the bigger accounts to like be a part of those beta programs and like understand the features. But at the same time, it's like, can be a headache, you know? I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the juice of customer success as it plays into the overall customer experience. Tell the audience where they can find you.
So I'm not on Twitter yet, but you can find me on LinkedIn. I think it's /WalkerCo. You could also find me on Instagram under walker.co. So feel free to hit me up. You also will put the links right into the
in the show notes. Yeah,
there we go. That way it's easier. You don't have to remember it. You can just listen to it, take notes on this call today.
I appreciate you, Corey. And thank you to everyone tuning in. We'll see you next week where we break down more juicy hot takes. Wow, you made it to the end of the episode. That means that you like me and I like you, which also means you should subscribe to this show.